this slow and stupid waitress day.
Big Chief.
How you feeling there, Mac?
Good enough to fuck your mother!
Gorilla.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. It's a dick fur. What's a dick fur? To pee with.
You're excited! Feel these nipples!
It's Friday night and the boys are coming to you live from the LV Rock Studio in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's right, it's time for Spank Wagon Radio. So sit down, shut up, and get ready for the funny.
Oh my God, it is Friday again! And you know what that means, don't ya? Oh look, it's time for that one radio show, you know, Spank Wagon. Check it out this week, we have a half-empty studio. Half full if you're an optimist, dickhead. This week we're going to avoid such topics as rectal bleeding, teenage pregnancy, and how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? So get ready. It's getting ready. Almost ready. We're here almost ready for that time. Chief is somewhere in China. Gorilla's out on the lam. And goddammit, where's that nigger? Yes, folks, it's time for Spank Wagon Radio. There's a reason we say, trust us, we're censored. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a Friday night. I'm your host, Trencher. I think that's your mic. Nope.
Just going to keep talking. There we go.
All right. God, I'm one. You're five. Let me cue up six as well just to be safe. Do we remember where the volume settings were last week for number six? Where on your computer what the volume settings have to be for it to play right?
You don't. Let's find out.
Oh, God. Okay, here we go.
Let's just do something here and...
I think it was 40% off of your of the garage.
All right, let's make sure we've got...
Can't believe we didn't tune this before the show. Maybe you need to jot all this down.
Yeah.
Pen and paper?
No, not yet. Oh. Hang on.
Cold Danish?
Ooh, Danish is always good. Let me check my... All right.
You know what? I have to say this right now. We're the two people that should... You know, we should be excused for doing this right now because, okay, well, you called me up this morning at 9:30 or 9:15 on the voice. I finally got the voicemail at 3 o'clock, by the way, mind you. You called me up at 9:15 today stating, hey, I'm going to be how many miles away?
Okay.
How many miles
209,
away?
No, 287 miles.
Almost 300 fucking miles away.
And yet I made it
in
back.
Lake Havasu, Virginia. That's a little more.
Lake Havasu City.
City over down in Arizona.
Yup.
And I'm sitting here, and I work until 5, and I got stuck doing work after 5. So we have reasons. We have great reasons. First off, Chief, well, Chief has a good pass because I think he's still in China. I didn't think so, but you're right. He's still in China.
Yeah, I think he's still there.
So, you know, there's a reason Chief isn't with us yet this week.
The monkey is
the
MIA.
This is the first for Gorilla.
Yeah.
He's not normally like this, so this is very odd. We should give him a call here on the air to see what he's doing.
Oh, well, if he'll answer.
He should.
You want to do it?
Yeah, we'll do it in a minute. All right. And, of course, Decaf, he'll be here. You said he'll be here.
Oh, when's the Negro ever on time?
Good point. So he said he'll be here. We'll hold him to that if not we get the whips.
He's running a little late.
So
whip him till he says his name's Toby.
Exactly. All right, so you are listening to the greatest internet radio show ever. You're listening to
Spankwagon Radio. Get a sheet. We're burning across.
Oh, let's not go that far.
Oh, no. I cannot wait for Decaf to get here. I want to talk about the conversation I've been having on the forums.
You know, the forum conversation you've been having, I think, is crap.
It's a little disjointed because I can never sit down and have it all at once.
Okay.
But,
you know, and you and I have had a problem with the forums, too. We've been arguing back and forth. By the way, let's cover some basics first. All the really good stuff you need to know. First off,
my penis is 12 and a half inches long.
In his imagination. The official site for Spankwagon Radio is spankwagon.net. You can catch us online. If you're listening to the show live, you can chat with us. Click on the cam and chat link to the left there. Brings up a nice little chat room, brings up a little cam, which we'll get the cam turned on here in a little bit.
Webcam,
goodness. So we'll get that going. Also,
you know, I might turn on the EyeSight cam tonight, too. We'll see if anybody wants to talk to me over that.
Oh, boy.
How much fun that always is.
We'd want to do that. Also, you can call us on live. Our studio lines are 1-866-587-6257. That's our telephone line. Local Vegas 383-8120. We'll go over that millions and millions and millions of more times.
Millions and millions of years ago.
Hey, if you're really lazy and you want to email us, the email is radio@spankwagon.net. I think that's pretty understandable. Don't really check my email during the show yet. Haven't gotten to that habit yet. We got plenty of news, plenty of conversations. Yeah, radio. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
And now that we got all that taken care of, well, let's jump back into what we were talking about, the forums. You have a good conversation, but there's something you've been bringing up in the forums that we have been arguing about. I think we can address now. We were going to address it last week, but we just got so busy with Decaf.
Oh, yeah.
You were talking about how the EPA is saying that the boutique fuels, they are not costing us extra money.
No. Freeze right there.
Freezing.
The EPA has released the preliminary report, and the full report will be available soon, saying that Bush's claims that the recent increase in fuel and gasoline cost is not related to the new additives that are required as per the new laws.
Okay, Bush has said this?
Bush has said this.
See, that's an about-face of what he said a few weeks ago, talking about boutique fuels.
No. Bush said that the reason the cost has gone up is because of the new additives.
Yes.
Okay. The EPA has said bullshit.
Okay. And this is where I'm going to actually call you on this. In California, they had to switch over one of their blends. And I don't remember exactly why, but it was an acetone content that they actually put into fuel. When they switched off of that and they had to switch to another type of detergent, it actually raised costs in two different areas. One, it raised costs over at the manufacturing, so at the foundries. Secondly, the two chemicals together were more expensive than the one chemical, so that's more money that's being charged at the pump. Also, not to mention the fact that every single one of those tanks had to, you know, either be expunged in some cases or completely sold out, so people jacked up the price to get ready for the new fuel additive or fuel change.
Okay, now the entire EPA report has not been released yet.
Here's the problem with citing an EPA report, though. The EPA wants everybody to think they're doing something. The EPA is going to sit there and they're going to say, okay, we're trying to show you how we're cleaning up our environment by making better fuel blends. But think about this. Just logically speaking, okay, the EPA is going to always want to save face. Why? Because the EPA is going to be the bunch of people that are actually pushing all these different blends out to different parts of the country. Also, you need to blame California. CAFE restrictions. And I can't... California Air something. California Air Federal Emissions or something like that. What that is the state of California's very own EPA, if you will, that are pushing all of these changes and restrictions and rules and whatnot on petroleum manufacturers so that way California gets a special blend. That's why California gas is always going to be more expensive than even Nevada gas.
Okay, now that being taken into account,
and I will say this: Bush is an oil man. As much as you have, you want to disagree
with
him,
without a doubt,
he knows his stuff when it comes to gasoline. He knows that.
Okay. Now, that all being said,
okay,
the EPA report covers all 50 states,
yes.
Covers the entire gas range, covers everything. Those new fuel detergents and the percentages of the increase, mm-hmm. that turnaround should not have affected the gasoline prices as highly as they have.
Okay.
We should have seen an increase of 2 to 6 cents per gallon, not 70 to 90 cents per gallon
okay.
like we saw.
And you're right in that respect, which is different from your argument online. Okay?
No,
your argument online was based entirely around the additives and fuel. What you're talking about with that 60 to 70, you're dealing with the futures markets. You're dealing with people who are sitting in a stock market exchange going, I bet gasoline in 10 days is going to be worth $70 a barrel. And they'll push it up to that.
Okay, now, my entire basis was that specific fuel jump. The EPA report deals mm-hmm. specifically with the fuel jump over the last few months, specifically around the comments made by Bush and the new additives, the E85 additives that have been
mm-hmm.
gone on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that entire report revolves around.
Anytime you switch over a refinery, anytime, whether you're switching from diesel 1 to diesel 2, whether you're doing a reformulation of a current fuel, or you're doing another boutique fuel, such as, I'm sorry, Chevron with Techron.
Oh, I know.
You know, those boutique fuels that are going to cost more.
But
you're paying, and they are going to be more than just 2 cents a gallon.
But definitely not 70 to 90
no.
cents.
So not 70 to 90 cents.
That's the jump we saw.
Right.
As someone who gets gas every day.
You see it.
70 to 90 cents.
That jump is purely on speculators. Pure and simple. It's the
exactly.
same thing. That much of a jump is pure and simple based upon speculation. The same thing we see for housing markets. The same thing we have seen in other commodity-based markets.
But it's more than that. It's more than that. Fuel consumption in the United States over the last year and a half has not changed. We're staying at a steady level. Fuel consumption in China is on the increase. The cost of gasoline and the cost the cost of gasoline and the cost of refining it. The increased costs that you're talking about mm-hmm. was a... God, what did I see? Maybe a 12% increase, I think, was the grand total increase that they said, that the reports I saw said that that's all it was a 10 to 12% increase in cost. That's it. That does not turn around and reflect the cost of oil and the cost of the refinery that we've seen gone on, or those costs are not being reflected what's turning around to us. What's turning around to us is flat out ripping us off. Now,
if it's costing ExxonMobil, you tell me how then. How are they ripping us off? Where is that dime coming from that they're ripping us off?
I'm sorry, how's it coming?
Yeah.
They are artificially inflating the cost of gasoline.
How?
By saying, we're going to make you guys pay $3 a gallon when you don't really need to.
Okay, but under what are they using for a reason?
They don't have to. Let's shake a magic eight ball and come up with what's today. We've got tensions with Iran.
Okay.
We've got Nigerian fuel lines that people are attacking. They come up with any reason they can, and literally it's like a magic eight ball. They come up with whatever reason they want to, and bam. Gulf Coast oil production dropped by less than 2%
mm-hmm. yep.
during Katrina.
Yes.
Yet gas prices
shot up
through the roof.
Through the roof.
There's no reason for it. If these extra additives are costing so much, why did Exxon release a $4.9 billion profit for one quarter?
Yes. And you're making all kinds of valid points. I just needed to get you to those valid points.
We are getting ripped off.
We're getting ripped off. We're getting ripped off in several. No, boutique fuels are part of it.
But they're not they're making them out to be a scapegoat.
You know what? And maybe they are. Because there are, there's different fuel blends for every region of the United States.
I know. I see them all the time.
You just see it West Coast. You don't see all the shit that goes on East Coast. You don't see the shit that goes on in other parts of the country. Here's the problem. You're also looking at things like the new sulfur amounts that are being allowed or disallowed, if you will, in diesel fuel. You're looking at every little thing. EPA regulations are going to make themselves look like roses. Guaranteed. They don't want to look like the bad guy, especially in something as volatile and as everyday as fuel prices. They're going to minimalize as much as they can because you're looking now at the EPA pushing this. If the EPA didn't push this, we'd still have leaded fuel.
Okay, now, here's the thing, though. This EPA is 100% Bush appointed, and this mm-hmm. EPA has backed up Bush on everything he said.
But this EPA also has to back up what they've done in the past, because then they're going to look like idiots, and we
Doesn't
all
matter.
Know how much people love jumping on tree hippie huggers.
Yeah, but all politics are local. So for them to be basically coming out and saying, no, Bush is wrong,
DPA is a little
huge.
Different. DPA is different.
They know, it's not like they have any oversight going on either.
You know, EPA is different. Yeah, they're not a local deal. They are national.
No, but for them to come out and basically say, no, President Bush is wrong, is a big deal.
Again, I'm not playing partisan lines, obviously, with this one, because everybody knows I'm somewhat of a moderate liberal, but I don't believe it. I don't buy it at all. I've seen the EPA do a lot of stupid things, and I've read a lot about it, a lot of stupid things they've done in the automotive industry. You know, we can go all the way back to their what happened with the first round of electric cars. We can go to some of the things that they have done themselves to cause fuel shortages or problems with trying to open up refineries. You got to look at the whole picture here. I honestly think that the EPA is a lot of the cause.
Well, I think with this, the again,
and are they a scapegoat? Well, you know, there's probably to a point they are being scapegoated.
Bush is making them out as a scapegoat. Is exactly what he's doing because he's protecting his base, which is oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
He's protecting them and protecting all of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for oil prices to be this high. It is artificially inflated.
Okay, there's the artificial inflation, but there's also other factors.
I'm sure there's
the fact that we haven't had a brand new refinery built in over a quarter of a century. Okay.
Okay.
There's the fact that these refineries, which are old, which are aging, I'm sorry, if you're doing something with a factory that's 25 years old, and that's what a refinery is, it's a factory, you're going to have wear and you're going to have tear, you're going to have maintenance costs. You know, you're going to deal with a lot of issues, especially if you're trying to, you know, make your... And let's look at this... let me kind of take this in a metaphor, if you will. It's like trying to make your Toyota Tercel from 1981... run and act like it's a brand new car with brand new parts that weren't really meant for it.
Okay, but using that analogy, or well, going, not the analogy, but using what you're saying, mm-hmm. wouldn't then their profits be in line with that? Wouldn't their profits stay
now,
about
that's
the same
where you
if
come
the cost
in.
Is? If not they're making so much more money, where is this money coming from?
Well, this money's coming from us.
Okay, but if they're having to shell out all this money to keep these 25-year-old refineries up and running, mm-hmm, as mm-hmm. you stated... why are they turning out record profits?
Because what they're doing is, as you said, they are inflating. There is gas inflation, gas price inflation. I am not arguing that point with you. I see it just as much as you do.
And I'm not arguing the point with
okay.
you that, yes, boutique fuel blends are going to increase the cost,
you know,
but not to the level that we're seeing.
See, and I think that they are going to increase it, not necessarily to the level we're seeing, but higher than what you think they are. Definitely higher than what you think they are. So
did
that's,
you just hear that?
Yeah.
That was my phone.
Oh,
oh my God.
What was that? Was
it was just logging on and checking email.
Oh, nice.
That was so weird.
Okay, so I think what we need to do...
Hey, do you want to call the monkey?
Let's call the monkey. Hand me the phone number. So what we'll do, you know, in this conversation...
He might not answer unless he sees it. You know what? We'll try it. I mean, this is by no means done. I think you and I are in essential agreement. There's just key points that we're
yeah. There's
we're
key points we have
on.
To differentiate. And you know what? I got to see some more proof.
Exactly. And when the entire report gets released, then we'll
that middle one there.
Oh, the middle one.
Report,
okay.
When the entire report gets released, then we'll see.
Wait, why does it say call work?
That's his. That's the only cell.
Oh,
he answers.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, that one. So yeah, when the EPA report finally gets released, we'll see all of the data. And like I said, in this preliminary report, they are citing they have data from all 50 states backing this up. So I'm sure they have the cost of the fuel blends, the refining cost for that, and everything pretty much in line. So I don't doubt that. But if they were to put out a report full of lies, it's going to get holes shot in it.
Well, it should. Let's see if we got Monkey. We're trying to call
Gorilla. I don't think he's going to answer. He really doesn't answer if it's not a number he recognizes.
I don't know how this shows up. I really don't. I've never called
either.
Myself. I think it's blocked.
Bummer.
Here we go. Hey, C's on the phone. Hold on a sec here. Hang on a sec. Go ahead.
Have you seen the new gold Dolce & Gabbana Razor cell phone?
I have not. See, say hi to the entire Spankwagon listening audience. I've got you on speaker. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I've got you on speaker, and everybody in the entire listening audience can hear you now.
Okay, well, then I'll behave. All right, we'll go to eBay and check it out. It's the Dolce & Gabbana. It comes with a 1 gigabyte scan disk for the camera. It gets inserted in the phone.
Wow, that's really something I don't care about, but I'll take a look at it anyway. If you want to send me the link, you know me, I'm perfectly happy with my little phone. I know you're the big Razer fan, though.
Okay, well, you can play with it Tuesday.
Are you getting it?
Yeah, I made Wayne buy it for me today.
Oh, my God. How much was it?
I don't know. They were going for, like, $550, and I got it for $425.
So $425 for a cell phone.
And
wow.
High speed internet, and it comes with the one, what is it, gigabyte or whatever. You can, you put the,
Wow. Okay, well, hey, let me give you a call later, alrighty?
Yes, please do, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay. Thanks, Cindy.
Okay, bye.
Alright, that was C.
Who cares? It's a cell phone.
I know, but it's gold and whatever. She's perfectly
have a
happy.
Seat. Decaf just walked into the studio, so he's going to get set up here in just a minute.
We'll pop him on. We got a Negro.
Always late. All right. Damn it. All right, yeah, Vert says it sounds like a bad McDonald's drive-up.
Yeah, well, it
you
is.
You need to just quit answering your phone.
I know, but
I think that'd be funnier.
Well, I thought
than...
it was the monkey. Here, let me try calling the monkey from my phone. We'll see if...
Yeah, we'll see what the monkey's doing.
We'll see if he'll answer this one.
Let's see. You should be there. Nope, you should be there. Say hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, there's Decaf.
Yeah.
How you doing this week?
Pretty good.
He's ignoring everything.
He's ignoring it now.
So who knows what's going on? We're trying to get a hold of Gorilla.
Oh, where's he at?
We don't know.
He's missing.
We know that Chief is still in China.
So he's probably tied. She's probably tied up to a tree looking for his underwear right
ding,
now.
Ding 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 ding. Now he knows Kung Fu, I think.
Oh, the Gorilla?
Yeah. No. Gorilla just knows alcohol and painkillers.
I was about to say. I thought he's not that creative.
Chief knows Kung Fu, so.
Oh, the Chief knows Kung Fu?
Chief knows Kung Fu, so if we ever have we ever get attacked by ninjas, Chief is our man.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. He's here. I have to do it. Where's it at?
Oh, what?
That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker.
Take money.
Oh, Jesus.
Tupac. Take money.
You know who the realest is, niggas.
All right, Decaf's in the hizzy.
What's going on?
That's all he gets for it. Okay.
That's all he gets.
He's like, two lines and you're done, man. All right. Hey, so how have you been doing?
Pretty good, man. Just got off work and went through traffic. Almost hit like five people going down Las Vegas Boulevard. People don't look where the fuck they're going.
They just walk right through the village.
They're all worried about getting shot by having their stereos on.
We've talked about this in the past, man. This town is great. I mean, it's horrible if you're a walker, but it's great if you want to kill someone because they will volunteer themselves. I mean, we've had it happen so often where a jaywalker will just zip right out in front of me. And I don't slow down.
You just keep on going.
They're jaywalking.
If
I know they're jaywalking, and I know like it's not like the like Charleston has those two phantom crosswalks.
Yes.
Where I kid you not, and for anybody who's not in Vegas, this may or may not make sense to you. So imagine you have a road. It's a 45-mile-an-hour road. You have a stoplight, and stoplights on average for main intersections are about a mile apart. That's a pretty decent amount of space. So there's a stoplight. And you go, and halfway between the stoplights, a half a mile down the road, there's a crosswalk. Now, the crosswalk does not have lights. The crosswalk does not have anything more than one single diamond sign. And it's expected to be used by people who want to just walk right out there and cross the street. Everyone around them has to stop. Now, let's think about this. You're going on a 45-mile-an-hour road. You see someone cross right in front of you, and they have the right-of-way.
Yes.
And they wonder why.
And that's exactly what happened today, right now. And then the phantom crossers is one right after the other.
Yes.
So then when you start going again, and then someone else comes right in front of the fucking street.
Now, here's the funny thing. There was, and I did not know this, a phantom crosswalk at my house. There was no signs. There's no signage anywhere. So what happened was, I honked. I'm like, what are you doing in the middle of the road? And they said, I'm in a crosswalk. And I looked down and I said, but there's no signs. And that's barely there. You know? So absolutely, yes, the phantom crosswalks out here are just a blast.
Just like the freeway. No signs. The lanes just changed.
No. You want to talk about lanes changing. You want to talk about lanes changing. Sawtooth roads out here. You know, the roads that you're going down, it's two lane, and then it turns into one lane opposing, and then it all slants left, and then it all slants right, and then it opens up to four lanes within a mile. Yep. It's like, what the fuck? So you drive the bus.
What happened to the gorilla?
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. I think he's with Jane Goodall, personally.
You what?
I think he's with Jane Goodall.
Oh, nothing? There you go, there you go. All right, so looks like we got at least three people. What the fuck?
Traffic helicopter.
You're all going to die! Take a left for salvation! Yeehaw! All right. Fuck, now I'm in Nam. How do they go from... Never mind. All right, enough. Almost ran me over with that one. All right. So Vert has been kind of going nuts, so we'll ask Vert to call us in. I guess he has a really bad tech support story to tell us.
Oh, does that mean we get to open up the phones?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's open up the line. 1-866-LV-ROCKS. That's 1-866-587-6257. Give us a call. Vert, you'll be the first one, so after Vert, anybody else can call. Nice. You just kind of just played them all in a row?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So, play the first one. I like that first one. Yeah, I like that one.
That's the. You know what? I like that one, and I like this one.
Please hang up and try again.
Yeah. I want to try and incorporate this one, though. So
that doesn't say phone tight to me. That just says, okay, my power wheels are charging up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but it's good. It's good. So, Vert, you know, we can also call Vert. I know Vert's number, so we can probably just give him a call if he doesn't want to call me right away. Is that your cell again? Oh, there's someone calling. Spankwagon Radio, you're on the air.
Oh, I had a bad day yesterday.
Yeah, you were kind of going off into the chat room. Tell us about it.
Oh, you have no idea. I didn't think people would made this stupid. I thought that there was a law against it.
Okay, so what kind of moron did you deal with?
Okay, this guy was supposed to come out and repair my mother's computer.
Oh, so this is someone in Kansas.
Yep, don't worry, we'll live
Kansas
with my mother.
City. She says, while you're down here visiting, I'm going to arrange for the service call because they're sending an idiot.
Okay, so wait. Is this a computer tech or is this like a internet or
a
cable?
It's a Macintosh service technician to fix her broken computer.
From, okay, let's dog him out entirely. From what company?
It's an Apple computer.
Apple has a rule, if you live more than 75 miles from an Apple store, they will send a tech to you as
no
long
way
as you have
Apple
Care.
Apple Care, which means she has on-site free service.
Damn.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is, if you're within 50 miles of any Apple service center, you have free service for 3 years if you have Apple Care.
Nice, okay.
They don't send out someone from Apple. They send out someone who is an Apple repair tech. They can work for any computer store or even be an independent person.
Okay.
She says they're sending out a moron. I thought she was overreacting. She was understating the question entirely.
Okay, so tell us. Come on, detail, man.
Okay, this guy gets here, various other snafus, but he finally arrives, and he's going to take the computer apart. He has three parts to install. They have to be installed in a certain order. So the one that has to be taken out to do the other two,
uh-huh,
he fixes first.
Uh-huh, okay.
Doesn't know how to take it out of the computer.
Wait, give us detail. What parts?
It's a power supply. Now,
on what kind of a computer?
You've got to take and back three screws out on the bottom, and then you take the back out.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The power supply can't come out with that middle screw in that position. You've got to put it back in.
Hey, Vert, what kind of Mac was it?
It's an iMac G5, one of the very first ones.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's just trying to remove the power supply, for God's sake. He spends 10 minutes on it, can't get it out. And I'm looking at that going, you know, you got to turn that screw back in. And he's like, well, different computer techs have different techniques. This is just my technique. I'm looking at that thinking, the only way that you're going to get that out of there without removing that screw is with a hacksaw.
Nice.
So he finally kind of gives up on it, and I just get him to put the screw back in, and he goes to lift out the power supply backwards. It ain't going to come out backwards. You have to lift out the top first.
Okay.
It's like he's never done this before.
All right.
So I help him take the power supply out. Okay. He gets that replaced. Then we move on to another part, and he's taking everything out of the computer. He's taking out the hard drive. He's taking out the memory. He's taking
for a power supply?
No, he's trying to change the logic board now.
Oh, okay.
And he's taking out the hard drive and the optical drive and all of the cables. And I'm thinking, that's completely unnecessary. But I'm just like, okay, I'll just let him go about his thing.
Let him do his thing.
He gets that thing replaced and goes to try to reassemble it. I come back and I look. He has all of the parts scattered all around the table.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
All of the screws are in one big pile.
Oh.
Okay, now, hold up, Bert.
There might be three or four screws in there that are the same, but other than that, they're pretty much all different.
Bert. Okay, Bert, hang on just a sec. As a former Apple tech, I will tell you right now, that is a very, very bad thing.
You know, I mean, I work on cars.
They advise you to use what, an ice cube tray or something?
I use a Dixie cup, or what I do is I take, this is what I learned from Claude, Ziploc baggies. Jot down what part it is, because I usually deal with nuts and bolts are bigger.
Anything like that. But no, these were in a little pile on the desk.
What we used to do is in the service manuals for all Apple products, there's a screw guide.
Oh, service manual? No, he didn't bring one of those.
Oh, jeez. Well, what we used to do is print out the service manual, because it'll have screws, throw a piece of double stick tape down, and stick that top of that screw right on that double stick tape right where next to you take it out, so you know exactly where it came from step by step.
That's one way to do it. Another way is the ice cube trays. The third way is like with a parts caddy, where you've got, you know, like the 30 drawers for nuts and screws.
And I will say, Vert's knocked his over a couple times, and I do not enjoy picking those up with him.
Yeah. But anyway, all these screws are in one big pile, and I'm looking at that thinking, I don't even know where some of those screws came from. And I looked in the machine, and I realized he was now getting ready to pull out the midplane, which he has to pull out basically the guts of the computer to get at the display. The display's in the front of the machine.
Right.
He has every screw taken out of that machine except the screws he needs to remove.
Oh, no.
He has, like, things like the antenna are unscrewed.
What?
He's taken the hard drive and the optical drive back out of the computer, neither of which have to be removed, because they come off with mid-plane.
So what we got so far is a gutted computer, but not even gutted where it needed to be.
He took out all the wrong screws, and he's trying to get this assembly out, and it won't come out. And I look at it, and I'm like, put those screws back in. You got to take out these other four here. Okay. So he doesn't bother to put those screws in. He just takes out the other four. And then tries to lift this thing out by the bottom.
Oh, no.
It won't come out by the bottom. And I just sit back and I watch him. And he starts to take the speakers out of the computer.
Oh, damn!
At that point, I lose my patience. Stop! Don't touch those speakers. You don't need to take them out. And I just reached in there and lifted up on the front of it and pulled back. There. It's out.
Oh, my God.
So, I go to get a drink. I'm like,
oh, why'd you leave?
I should have made it a double.
Wait a minute, you hit the alcohol. Wow.
I was just about to. It was getting really, really bad.
Oh, Jesus.
So oh, jeez. Gosh golly.
He's working on that, and I don't even want to be in there when he's replacing the LCD. I'm like, I don't even want to see it. By the way, you know this is a flat computer, right?
Yes.
Flat screen? Delicate glass front?
Yep.
Well,
he set this computer down on its face on the table without a mat. On top of a screwdriver.
Ow!
Three times.
See, now I was expecting the screws. I expected that he would put it down on the screws. That's what I was seeing. But the screwdriver, that's just as bad.
Yeah, three times he set it down on a screwdriver, and I had to stop him and tell him to get the screwdriver out of there lest he crack or scratch the screen. So, yeah, it just went on and on. So he gets the display replaced, and he goes to put the midplane back in. He disassembled and reassembled it a total of four times before he got it to where he could close the machine again. He would assemble it partway, and then he'd have to back up and take some stuff apart and change the order in which he assembled it, and then take some more stuff apart, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, he's putting in all of those screws.
Oh, no.
And he drops them in, and he's like, nope, that doesn't fit there. And he tries it in another hole. No, it doesn't fit there. He tries it in another hole. There we go.
And how much time has passed by since then?
And I'm thinking, oh, my God, he doesn't know where those things go. And I was looking at them, and I realized he'd removed screws that I have never removed. I have no idea where they go.
How much time passed by?
I can't even help him.
Vert, how much time are we talking about so far?
We're up to 2 hours.
Oh!
Now, he finally gets
all
screws except for one in. He goes to put that one in the last remaining hole, and it doesn't fit. It is way too small for the hole.
Oh, no.
You know what he does?
Takes it all apart.
Forces it in.
He gets into his parts kit, and he gets out another screw. I am not kidding.
So we could have a screw in that computer right now that's grounding out.
Oh, absolutely.
And
there are probably several of them that are in the wrong holes. He couldn't recognize the difference between sheet metal and plastic screws.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Okay, so...
And I was like, It will be a miracle if this thing turns on when he gets it assembled.
And what happened? Okay, so he gets it all back together.
Oh, no.
Oh, no?
To reattach the display. Are you familiar with the LCD display lines, the cables?
Yes.
Very delicate, very thin wires?
Yes.
Often come out on their own?
He's trying to stuff them through a spot on the frame where they're not meant to go, a really small spot. He's stuffing them through this opening.
So he's bending them and pinching them together?
Yeah. I looked at that and I was like, stop! that's a $1,000 display. Let's not break it. So I did about probably a quarter of the repair for him. Just to prevent him from outright destroying the computer.
My question then, why didn't you just take the parts when you saw that this is going to be a problem, kick him out, and do the job? Or sit him and just sit him, shut up.
If anything were to go wrong with that repair, and I'm sure something will, that would then probably, they would blame it on us.
Oh.
Because I was not the, although I am a Mac repair tech, I was not the one that was assigned to this. So, you know, it's not something that I could meddle with too much. I was just preventing him from destroying.
How did this? Now, this guy had to take the same tests that you had to take.
Oh, he couldn't have. There is no way on earth. He had probably done maybe two minor repairs on that computer. He pulled out the logic board pretty good. I'll give him that. He actually did that fairly adeptly. But the power supply, for God's sake. How many Macintoshes could he have worked on and not replaced a power supply in an iMac? The number one part that breaks.
Good point.
And when he was removing every screw except the four he needed to get the display out, he obviously hadn't done that before.
No, obviously not. That's interesting.
He didn't even want to see the service manual. I had a copy of it with me. He didn't want to look at it. He just kept saying, every technician has their own technique. This is just my technique.
Yours is obviously sucking.
Now, did you explain to him?
Is to break the machine.
Did you explain to him that you are a Mac Apple certified?
He knew, and he actually, every time I stopped to step in, except for a couple of the times that he was, you know, oh, this is my technique, most of the time he stopped and he let me show him what to do. I'll give him that. But he just did not
scary,
know what he was doing.
There
is no doubt in my mind that if I wouldn't have been there, he would have completely destroyed her computer and probably not been able to reassemble it.
Not been able to reassemble it at all.
Taken it back to his shop and had somebody else fix it for him.
Okay, let's do this again. Now, this is when you called Apple Tech Support. What company? Because this guy obviously wasn't working for Apple.
He wouldn't tell us. Apple refused to, because we arranged for an appointment and they were supposed to have called like on Monday.
Okay.
To arrange because they needed the tech to be here the same day I was there. They didn't call until like Thursday.
Oh,
Thursday morning, and we couldn't get Apple to tell us
who this guy worked for,
the place that they had called, or the phone number, anything.
The guy didn't have a card.
He
didn't have
an email address. They wouldn't even give that to us.
Oh my God! And he didn't have like a sticker on his repair kit, or he didn't have a shirt.
It would have been very. The way that I figure it, as near as I can guess, whatever company he works for, somebody there is Apple certified. It ain't him.
Got it.
Somebody
okay.
there is certified, and that's who's getting the parts shipped to them.
Makes sense.
Because Apple will not ship you parts that you are not qualified to install.
Yep. So they're sending their cousin
there's
out there
no chance of him passing those tests.
Interesting.
So they send their cousin out to fix it for them?
Yeah, they send their cousin out to fix it for them. That's exactly
basically,
what...
Basically, yes.
Well, Bert, you know what? Thank you very much for that. That's something you got to watch out for, those kind of tech support issues where... Dude, idiots who think they, you know, I play with computers, they get the job based upon the fact that they know how to play Warcraft.
Well, I didn't even get the impression that he felt like he knew what he was doing. He was winging it every moment. I mean, every step that he would go to do, it was very clear that he did not have a plan as to how to do it. It was just sort of stumble forward and hope we find the part.
And hope for the best. All right. Well, Vert, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you for letting me rant.
No problem.
No problem,
buddy. Pleasure.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, my God. That is some scary shit. All right. So here's what we got to do. We got to take a break. So I got the music. The fuck was that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, I got. You do that again, bitch.
I just farted. I'm sorry.
More than just that one. Oh, she's
I knew I would get him. Oh, he's looking for it. You know, it was either that or this one.
That, you know, if the I hit the drop button on the phone because I'm like, oh, a click. Oh, I forgot to hang up. Fuck.
Look at
good,
that.
Well
he
done.
Well,
right
into that
well,
one.
Well done prank.
He just looked again.
I'm flinching. I'm like, what the
oh,
fuck?
He looked again. Oh, that is great. He just went and looked again.
Oh. We're going to fix that problem.
No. So. Turn me back on, bitch. You cannot turn me off.
You're ugly, and your mama dresses you funny. All right.
Can I play music this time?
Oh, no. I got this one.
Oh, fine.
Mine. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spank Wagon.
Damn.
He got it right this time.
He did.
Yes.
I
went home and studied.
Look at that. We don't have to withhold his welfare check this week. That is awesome.
Wonderful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back in just a few moments.
I have to pee.
Show.
All righty, lady. Nice.
Oh, Christ.
Done. Nicely done. Let me just take care of
this. Hey, can I play one of the sounders while he gets that done?
Sure.
This is Mr. Big Voice, reminding you that it is your duty as an American and as a patriot to call Spankwagon Radio today. 1-866-LV-ROCKS. You too can help fight terrorism.
And with that, the lines are still open. We'd love to hear callers. You know what? Why don't we open it up a little bit? I was going to bring the subject around to censorship in the media.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is... Please note, the new number is...
I had no idea that it stopped in the middle
of that. Okay, but the number 1-866-587-6257. We want to hear from you. Tech support woes are always a good thing to hear. Especially something as asinine as a tech coming out there, disassembling a computer, not knowing how to reassemble it. That's just some scary stuff. And you know, you've paid for this kind of support. And that's a reflection on Apple. Yeah, exactly. That is a reflection on Apple computer right there, because that is someone that they are sending out. That is their tech. That, who cares who they are? And I agree a little bit with Apple in saying, you know, we're not telling you who they are and who they work for, but they are representing Apple, and that needs to be taken care of. And that's a really horrible, horrible thing. So, all right. With that being said, I was going to kind of lean the conversation. I got our round table, and how this works, folks. We'll go back to the round table style since we're kind of short two people. Going to bring up a topic, bring up a point of conversation. We discuss it as civilized adults. And Murphy.
Yeah, I start yelling.
Yeah. If you want to chime in on the topic of the conversation, you're always free to. Everybody can call. Your opinion is what we want. Your voice is what we need to hear. Again, that number 1-866-587-6257. We also encourage you to go to our chat. We encourage you to go to our chat room. That chat room, of course, is the Cam and Chat link at spankwagon.net. And, of course, if you're technically elite, irc.slashnet.org/LVRocks. Pretty simple.
Do you want the serious music?
What do we have for serious music?
Oh, I have some serious music. Oh, Hang on a second.
Let's hear serious
Hold
music.
Hold on. I have to get to that directory.
Dum, 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 dum. La, la, la. Serious music. Not like serious as this. Okay, that's melodrama, man.
All right, hang on. You want
Dude, that is like Sunday night movie. What's her name that always stars in a Sunday night movie that she used to be
Marky
on?
Not Marky Post.
I forgot.
Oh.
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Thank you. Meredith Baxter Burney and her Sunday movies. Hey, play the music. Play the music. That's not the music you just played. Play the music you just played.
Okay. All right. All right.
A mother loses her child. She goes across country in a 4x4 Jeep to locate her lost child, to discover only that her estranged lesbian lover, now former husband after the surgery, has been raising their child to be a neo-Nazi televangelist. Film at 11.
Have you noticed that Lou Diamond Phillips is quickly becoming the new Marky Post, though, of sci-fi original movies?
Isn't Marky Post from Night Court?
Yeah, yeah. She was in everything that the Lifetime Channel put on. Okay.
Tonight on the news. No. And now for Chet to weather. Fuck. All right, so here's what I want to talk about, something that I've been reading a lot about lately. A lot of censorship on censorship-related news. So I want to open up the roundtable. First off, here's a news story from Wikipedia. This news story, the Chinese media is going to start facing fines for disaster reporting. This is coming in from Wikinews. The Chinese government has announced plans to impose fines of over $12,000 in U.S. currency on media outlets if they report domestic disasters without permission. 2 years in planning, the law is expected to be enforced by the end of this year and would affect reporting on natural and industrial disasters or anything that could jeopardize the handling of emergencies or threaten social order. The country, infamous for its censorship, has basically seen an outcry from the press campaign groups, but the Chinese government insists that the laws are primarily to give local governments more control in releasing information to the public. So we'll open it up. First reaction thoughts.
How in the fuck do you close off reporting news?
Well, you close it off by not printing it. I mean, your newspaper, especially in China, you know, they are owned by the government.
It's like these days, it's so much technology. It's so many outlets. You really can't just shut down.
No, you can't.
The media.
Well, you're shutting impossible. Down. You know, what you're doing is you're shutting down the normal media. What about those bloggers?
Yeah. And they're going to report and say, you know, it's still going to get out there somehow.
Murph?
Well, China is very quickly becoming the ultimate in censorship. I mean, for those of you that read...
they're communists.
Well, I mean, yeah, but those of you that read Boing Boing know all of the stuff that's going on. You know, their attempts to censor...
We'll say that. Boing Boing.
Boingboing.net. Boingboing.net, yeah. And
great site. I love that site.
I check it as often as I check FARC now. It's become just an awesome site. But yeah, China is doing everything they can to censor bloggers, to censor news, to censor everything. I mean, and what is it? One of the pieces of software that has been released, if I could find it. Is it Skype? It's the Chinese version of Skype.
It's the Chinese version of Skype.
Actually, will censor you. It will phone home. It will basically tell anyone with the correct key sequence everything that you're doing and who you're calling and all of that kind of good stuff.
Yep. A government spokesperson said that journalists and media organizations have worked very hard to contribute to covering emergencies, but I must say that some of the individual journalists have filed wrong reports or even fabricated facts. So what they're doing right now is they're hiding. They're saying, oh, you know, this is so we can scrub out basically any lies or any inaccurate reporting. How much you guys want to bet that? Well, I mean, what was the last disaster to happen in China? Anything more recent? Anything recent or within the
earthquakes? I think.
Okay, earthquakes. So there has to be something there, you know, maybe with the Three Gorges Dam or something like that, you know, that they don't want reported. You know, also with the strangeness that's coming up with North Korea.
Yeah.
You know, North Korea launching their little missiles, and I love their long range missiles can't even make it to past the Bay of Japan.
And they never had control of them. Any of the missiles they fired, they never had any sort of control over.
That's just scary. You know, maybe there's something there. Maybe they're getting ready for a breakdown that way.
Well,
I don't think Communist China is going to deal with North Korea. I think that'd be stupid, but... No.
But here's something going along the same line. Singapore government condemns blogger for expressing his opinions. Singapore's most famous blogger, Mr. Brown, has been writing a weekly column for a local Singaporean newspaper called Today. Recently, one of his columns was more critical than the powers that rule liked. They issued a statement through the press secretary of the Ministry of Information, Communication, and the Arts that sternly chastised Mr. Brown for having expressed anti-government views.
So...
We're going to start seeing this throughout the entire region there, and it's gonna be,
you know,
bad.
And here's something, you know, I'm going to jump right into my next story that I had, you know, talking about censorship. By the way, let's preface this a little bit. Probably we're kind of a room full of people that if censorship were to affect the United States, everyone in this room would be immediately affected in probably three, maybe four different ways. Murphy and I directly, actually all three of us directly, as show people here, because it would limit what we can say. But I know it would limit you in two more ways.
Yes.
You are an accomplished author.
Yes.
You have published how many books?
One.
One? Okay. Hey, you know what?
And one's on the way.
Hey, wait. How many books have you published?
Zero.
And that would be for me. So you're up over both of us.
You're up over both of us. By the way, well, why don't we talk about your book for just a minute?
Okay.
Let's kind of deviate from the depressing stuff.
Here it goes.
And we'll come back. What's your book and about, and give us a...
Well, my book is called Absolutely Shameless.
Okay.
It's a story. It's like real life. It's like the story of a guy. It's told in first person.
Okay.
So he's telling everything that he sees from his eyes.
So it's nonfiction? It's a biography?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
That's what people say, but, you know, some of it is...
you write from experience. No, yeah. You make shit up because you don't experience this.
Exactly. So it's a story about a guy who's kind of... You know, kind of a loser type or whatever. But then all these things start going his way. And, you know, so he got like one real fucked up friend. He has one cool friend. So, you know, it just talks about his life and stuff.
Okay. Can I ask, is it published more locally or is it actually out there? If someone in, Kansas wants to go out and get the book.
If they went to Amazon.com and actually looked up Absolutely Shameless, yes, you could get in and order it.
Now, awesome. was there anything, going back to censorship, was there anything in your book that the publisher wanted you to change?
Aside from your editor doing the normal tighten this up or make more sense out of this kind of control, does there anything they said, hell no, you're not putting that in
the book? No, because I really didn't put a whole lot in because of that reason. Because it's not only that, it's like some people will read it And some people came up and tell me, it's like, come on, you know, you can say the fucking shit right here. You know, it's more how mm-hmm. people will talk.
Right.
But then I have to, you know, try to go to the other audience with people who are not too comfortable with, you know, so much reading, so much, you know, mm-hmm. vulgarity. So I'm trying to get everybody, you know, just put it in when it's really needed.
Okay.
You know, but not, you know, just, you know, over, you know, overbear the story with it. So
okay.
That's what you got to keep in mind.
Now, we've had authors on before. Matter of fact, one of our friends, one of our listeners, and the message board forum whore, Red Rum, is a screenplay. She writes screenplays. She did this as she's trying to do this as a living. You want to be an obviously an author for a living, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What's your next book going to be about?
My next book is really, really good. I like this one. It's really touching one. It's a touching story.
It's a touching story.
Wait. Is it touching or is it?
No, it's touching.
Touching.
Yeah, wait, no, we should, when he describes this, turn on that music, the Meredith Baxter Burning music.
Oh, Jesus. All right, hold on.
Hold on.
Tell it the way. Okay. I got you.
Damn it. In a different directory.
How is it you don't have these open?
Dude, I do. I have to go through the different directories to find all of them. All right. Tell us about your book.
The story is about Tucker Miles, who is dying of cancer. He was once rich and going to be an architect, but he got sick and he moved to the ghetto neighborhood of the West Side Las Vegas. The story takes place in 1977. Where he is taken care of by a blind boy.
I have a better song for this.
By a blind boy who is 17 years old and has a kid and a kid on the way.
Oh, damn.
And has another friend who just came back from Vietnam and is all fucked up in the head. And
wait,
it's a story.
77 and he's just coming back from Vietnam?
Well, I mean, he's been back for about 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And he's all screwed up.
You know.
No, I'm scratching it.
So it's a story about their friendship and how everything... It all comes together at the end, and it's a touching.
I actually have an early review of his new book.
Really? Oh, come on. No. We're not going to do that. Be nice. All right. So, okay. It sounds like what's that one titled? Tentatively titled.
August of 77.
August of 77. All right. So that's something.
A lot of things took place because there's a lot of history that took place in August of 77 or 77 alone.
Was it? No, it was 76.
Son of Sam was 77.
Okay.
Elvis died in 77. August of 77. Earlier that year, Roots came out.
Yep.
Star Wars came out.
My wife was born.
I was born August of 77.
There you go.
And
I had been born the year before, so.
Same here.
Yeah, so those are like some of the major events that took place. So it's a lot to, you know, right about there.
All right, so I think we got a good ground premise of why censorship, you know, not only affects us on the microphones, but in things like media. You know, you're a computer tech guy, so, you know, that kind of, but where you're computer tech, censorship is a big scary word, you know, things that are happening. But let's cover this. Censorware. Let's go back into this. Fox News proposes an office of censorship. No joke. They at least basically what they were talking about is, and this is quote, not crushing, preserving our freedom by preserving our secrets because war is not a free thing. Next, the other person says, well, what about in the past? We've had all the time in the office of censorship where people review what it is, you know, what things are about. And if something was giving away too much information, you'd stop it. So now we have news organizations, public news organizations. Thinking, hey.
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely fucked up?
Exactly. And Fox News saying, hey, maybe we need a censorship office.
Fox News.
Now, I know it's Fox News. It's playing right.
This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
It's sort of playing in the hands of politics and whatnot. But think about it. That's
Fox News and politics? You must surely be joking.
Well, I can understand from one point of view because Geraldo almost gave away the position of the troops.
Yeah, they kicked him out of Iraq during the first couple
of
weeks.
Who was he reporting for? CNN?
Fox. That was when he was reporting for Fox.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Warning. Incoming idiot bomb. I swear to God, dude.
He can't find a fucking thing in Al Capone's vault, but he sure can find Al Qaeda. Al Qaeda can find him. So, yeah, okay, so we got that, but, I mean, okay, now we're looking again, and back to my point, media, a media outlet, a major media outlet, and they got to give them props. They came out of nowhere, and they are really powerful.
Oh, without a doubt.
They came out of nowhere. When you appeal, Rupert Murdoch and his group.
When you appeal to that mentality, you're going to have a huge following, because up until then, in most cities, all you had for news media was CNN and then the local stuff.
CNN local.
And then
MSNBC, which still is one of my favorites. On the recommendation of actually some people in the studio who run the studio, Diggs and a few others,
but you
MSNBC
know what?
Is one of their favorites.
MSNBC is, I mean, it's tennis. It's back and forth.
Yes.
You've got, you know.
But that's what it should be.
But I'm not on the same show, though. It's at different shows. You know, you've got Keith Olbermann, who's one side of things. Then on the other side, you've got Scarborough Country, which is almost as propaganda-filled as Fox News.
But that's what it should be.
That's exactly what it shouldn't be. A news organization should not be editorializing commentary. And that
that's the problem.
CNN, Fox,
these
or MSNBC.
These are not journalists.
Yeah.
And Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they are no longer journalists.
They are journalists as Triple H is an athlete.
I know what word you got to say. They're the analyst. It's not an analyst. It's what they specialize in. This is a specialist in hurricane emergency something. And this person, that's exactly what it is.
They are not journalists.
I can't think of the word.
They are news commentators.
Yeah. That's the word.
That's all they are.
That's it.
So anybody you see on a news channel, they're talking heads. So we have news commentators.
They are the professional wrestling version of news.
Yes, exactly. And we eat it up. You know, I was just reading the half-life of a good news story is only 36 hours. 36 hours before it starts to fade.
Yep.
Wow.
Or it starts to get crusty on the dress.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. 36. Nice. 36 hours and what was big yesterday or what was on your conscience is already fading away. Is that our problem or is that created by our news commentators?
I think it's created by the news commentators. And what's funny is I guess when the news gets boring, you know, when it's not about people murdering their wives and burying them somewhere,
yeah,
you know, in the middle of the ocean or whatever they did, you know, they said this was national news. Michael Jackson has came outside.
You know, and I was like, and, what? And I love it. Who did I hear today? Who did I hear say this? Oh, God. Not Britt Hume. I don't remember.
Wolf Blitzer?
No. It was on Fox, but it was that one. It was one of the Fox correspondents.
Tony Snow. Oh, wait, no. He's no longer working Fox. He works for the White House.
Yes. It was this guy in Fox News. I forget who it was, but it was a video of a water spout off of the coast of South Carolina. And he even goes, yep, all the news in the world, and we have to report on a water spout that everybody sees every single year. But someone sent us a clip, therefore we must put it on the air.
I love it.
I love that. And that's exactly it.
If they're not trying to scare the piss out of you, they're trying to bore you to death. I swear, sometimes it's like... Could there be a silent killer lurking in your child's pants? We'll tell you at 11. You gotta be kidding me. It's they just try to scare the living shit out of you.
Okay, we gotta do this real quick. Okay, we gotta think of a great headline to scare the shit out of somebody. So we have, is there a silent killer in your child's pants?
Oh, there's some real ones out there.
Think of something up.
Tell me when you're ready, and I'll play the music for it. You got one? I could do another one if you'd like.
Do another one.
Let's see here. Oh, this is a real one.
Oh.
There is a political candidate who wants to take all the child molesters and pedophiles in York in a county and put them in a 3-block radius. Could this be happening in your backyard? We'll tell you at 11. I swear to God, that's a real one. I swear to God, that is a real one.
Okay,
ready?
Okay. Yeah, you know what? This is a real one, too, that I heard.
Hold on, let me get... I have another one for that. Hold on.
But I like that.
You like that one?
I'll continue to use that one.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Recycling plastic water bottles. Could this lead to your death?
That's great. That's another one.
You know, I'm like, what? You know, and of course, what it was about was rinsing them and reusing them.
Yeah, yeah. You got one? You got one, decaf?
What about? He doesn't got one.
I got. Let's see here. Just going on the same exact theme.
Okay.
Let's see here. Could one of the substitute teachers in your child's school be a Klan member? We'll tell you at 5 o'clock. That kind of shit, and they just try to scare the living shit out of
you. Here we go.
All right, you got another one?
Yep. The alphabet. It may not have been what you've learned when you were in school. find out more on our 11 o'clock newscast. But first, Bongo the dog, you know? What? No, and you're right. That's news right now, and that's local news. I mean, I wish he was here to defend himself, but, you know, and he's not. But, I mean, our very own news director, you know, he's got to roll his eyes at some of the stuff that comes across his desk.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
You
things
know.
Like, let's see here. Your pet, the silent killer lurking in your yard. We'll tell you at 11. I swear to God, it's exactly. Look, if it's that fucking important, tell me right
now.
Tell
me right now.
Tell me now, please. Holy shit. Hey, you know what? Are we still continuing with this? Or can we, since we brought up Fox News in all its glory, can I play something that's just wonderful?
Yeah, you have something, and then we'll kind of flip back into
yeah.
something more local, and we'll keep going with this.
Let me see here. Let me find it. Is that it? Yeah, this is great. Speaking of Fox News and everyone's favorite...
And Coulter's late.
Everyone's favorite...
it sounds like Countdown.
Oh, yeah, this is Keith Olbermann. And speaking of...
MSNBC.
MSNBC, one of the shows I really do enjoy. They've taken some stabs lately at Fox with Bill O'Reilly, and they're going after
stabs,
all the pundits.
Man. They have gone after him like crazy.
And you told me... You were telling me earlier that Olbermann's ratings are finally
topping O'Reilly's.
That's nice. Well, here, this is the new one. This is really great. This is an expert who has found proof of plagiarism in Ann Coulter's books.
Ann Coulter's latest screech, Godless, has reached number one on the New York Times bestseller list for nonfiction. We can debate just how much of it is non and how much of it is fiction, but there's a more pressing issue. How much of it did she write and how much of it did she steal? Our third story in the Countdown, an expert on the subject says Coulter is guilty of, quote, textbook plagiarism, and has concluded that she's passing off as her own writing the works of people at the LA Times, the Heritage Foundation, even Planned Parenthood, giving any of them even a footnote's worth of credit.
Now, I have to tell you this video, which you can't see, Deep Calf can. They've got a picture of Ann Coulter in the background with an eye patch on.
Nice.
The shameless.
That expert, John Barry, will join us presently. His company took Coulter's book and ran it through a program called iThenticate. Apparently, Coulter is not godless but clueless when it comes to ripping off other people's writing. In a chapter entitled The Holiest Sacrament, Abortion, there is a 25-word passage straight out of literature from Planned Parenthood. It had been taken virtually word for word. It is factual. It concerns the president of the Mississippi Baptist Convention, but there is no credit given. In another chapter entitled The Creation Myth, Coulter manages another long passage, this one 24 words, that is neither hers nor attributed. This time in a passage about the galactic ruler Xenu, she steals from the San Francisco Chronicle, though she did change two of the words, and we have highlighted them in italics, as you see. But the longest apparently stolen passage on page 5 of Coulter's book, 33 words long, from a 1999 article in the Portland Press. Again, the four words that were, in fact, changed in Coulter's book, we have highlighted in italics. And in Coulter's Universal Press columns from the past 12 months, the iThenticate program found her borrowing from an LA Times article. And the Heritage Foundation has promised the CEO and founder of iParadigms, creator of a leading plagiarism recognition system, John Barry, joins us now. Thank you for your time, sir.
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
You have called this textbook plagiarism. Is that because the theft that you have located is virtually word for word, or what's the definition of this?
Well, that's right. I mean, we analyze between 50 and 60,000 works every single day from all over the country, all over the world. And, you know, in a situation like this where you have that much text used without citation or reference to anybody and passed off as actually Ann Coulter's own words, that's pretty much textbook plagiarism.
The book is one thing, but you have found a column from August of 2005 that had six different passages from an LA Times article, and they were even in the same order in Coulter's book. Is that the other thing is textbook plagiarism? Is this advanced plagiarism? What is this called?
Right. Well, the New York Post came to us and wanted us to analyze Ann Coulter's book Godless and the last 12 months of her syndicated column. And we found multiple examples of this sort of thing. It is, I guess I'd agree with you, it is sort of advanced plagiarism. But I got to tell you, after a while, we just gave up. We said, look, there's enough of it. There you go. We're done reading Ann Coulter's work.
We're not, I mean, clarifying here, we're not accusing
they couldn't even
her of
stomach it.
Recycling material from her own columns in the book. This is the work of other writers?
No, this is not Ann Coulter. This is a work. These are works from third parties that were used without citation. That's right.
The column from June 2005, facts from the National Endowment for the Arts, but they were taken from a Heritage Foundation report, also presented in the same order. Would any question of the authenticity of doing this? I mean, this is, people quote other people's work and use long passages in books and columns all the time. Under any circumstances, has nothing to do with a political point of view or the nature of the work. Are we talking about somebody who just would not put a footnote in or a credit? Is that what this boils down to?
Look, I think the examples you've given today are the same sort of things that would flunk an English 1A student, you know, writing some term paper on the same type of subjects.
The sloppiness aside, or the failure aside, you also say that you've discovered that when Ms. Coulter did cite sources in her book, the citations were misleading. Explain what that means.
Well, it's interesting, because as the Post asked us to go through her book and through her articles, it was extremely unclear what the citations were referring to. She had citations maybe three or four paragraphs later, but the preceding four paragraphs were all quoted from the same source. So, you know, it was that sort of free and loose use of citations that made it very, very difficult to try to determine whether Ann Coulter was citing that material or whether she was just trying to pass it off as her own, but again, just playing free and loose with the citations.
So there we go. Ann Coulter.
Ann Coulter is a thief, a pirate, a plagiarist. And don't buy her book. That's Army my personal recommendation. Do not buy the book. And I'm not even playing, you know, I'm not even going to play politics on this. I'm just going to say someone who doesn't know how to cite, that's the most basic thing you learn in any 101 English class in any college, in any English class
which
that you take.
You failed.
Miserably. In high school and junior high. You don't steal from other people.
No stealing.
And that includes their words. So that's interesting. That's good stuff. All right. What we need to do is take a quick break.
Somebody stole my story.
Somebody stole my book.
Nigga stole my bike.
Actually, no. You know what? Before we go, here's something. One thing I want to touch on, and then we'll wrap up the censorship kind of conversation. I don't know if you've heard this. Anybody knows about this, but KNPR, the Nevada NPR, if you will, maybe going off the air because
again.
One person... 1 year ago, said one time in the show, shit. One person listening, I don't think that was an entire listening audience, but one person listening,
I don't know, it is KNPR,
called the FCC and made a complaint. At the same time that they made the complaint, KNPR's license for renewal, broadcast license for renewal, was up. So now it's on hold, pending the investigation of saying the one word, shit, that was said during a show that is syndicated to other NPR affiliates throughout the United States and abroad. And only one person complained in the Las Vegas area listening to KNPR, and they may take down an entire station because of that. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all I have to say about censorship. I think that
that pretty much sums it up.
Says
right
it all
there.
Right there. So
I do have one more thing.
What's that?
Uh-oh.
One more thing about censorship.
What's that, Toby?
It's funny how...
Oh, and you know what? Maybe we'll come back after the break, because I got one. I got a game you might want to play.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
It's a fun game.
So, what I don't understand is, okay, this one person, say, shit on the air. They're about to close down a whole radio station.
Shit. And it was a syndicated. It didn't originate originally from that station. It was a syndicated show, the What Do You Know?
Wow.
Show.
Apparently shit.
But then you'll see now in movies, with kids in movies, kids are saying shit in movies.
Zathura, he calls his brother a dick.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Goonies called each other dicks.
Yes.
And
even on television, it's like now you can't say anything. But in the 70s, you know, All in the Family, the Jeffersons, it was so free to talk about, you know, white people, black people. You know, it was so free. Mm-hmm. Now it's like you mention anything about any race on television, your show's a racist. Everyone's racist. You're anti-Semitic.
Oh,
you don't like black people. You know?
You haven't heard about this. There's an advertisement. I want to say it's
I've got the story on that for a little bit later.
White is coming.
The PSP story.
The PSP.
And the advertisement that is in Amsterdam that a
NAACP.
The NAACP and a Californian lawmaker want pulled.
So. And it's in Amsterdam. It's not even in our goddamn country.
Exactly.
Because they know better than to do it to our country. All right. So what we're going to do is we are going to go to break. You're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever. No, you get
Spankwagon Radio.
You get all the sound bits.
No, I've got music here.
I got music here.
Come on, please.
My music's topical.
My music's funny.
My music's topical.
My music's funny.
My music's playing. Wait.
So is mine.
Very topical. So we're going to go to break. You know, maybe next week. Maybe
you
not.
Suck my... You know what? This is all because I beat you in the little musical tit-for-tat we did.
I think that was still a draw. I won't concede on it yet.
Do you fear for your child?
Fear for you.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, after your eardrums have just been exercised there a bit, what's funny is the black man in the studio couldn't put the headphones on for Marilyn Manson. It was sort of like watching two magnets, two polar opposite magnets, or polar alike magnets, north and north, try to meet up. It's like they get close to the ears and they just sort of shake and shoot right off of his head. Damn amazing. I've never seen that before, but... Oh, he went there.
That was inappropriate.
Highly. Hey, you're sitting next to him. He could punch you this week. All right. You're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Pine Quack and Radio.
We got to say this. It has to be said. We've been, you know, this past week, I don't know what's happened, but where's everybody at? The chat rooms are a little too empty for my taste. The downloads for the podcast. Don't forget, podcasts.lvrocks.com.
They're packing up and leaving.
Dude, they must be. Podcasts are still there. We need more people to download. Spread the word of the spank. We also noticed that this week, again, listener counts. And MySpace, I have not had a lot of MySpace ads. This whole MySpace thing that everybody...
Well, it's because you're not letting me go on and just randomly advertise.
Hey, it's not up to me. It's up to Chief. That's his job.
Oh, great. Fucking, I'm going to need a slow boat to China to get a hold of him.
Literally. So we got to say this. First off, Spankwagon Radio, spankwagon.net. Don't forget we have our MySpace stuff, myspace.com/spankwagon. We really want you to be our friends. That's really? Going to be important. I want to see that grow because we may just want to start integrating that more into the site. With that being said, next week will be our last regular show for a while. What we're going to be doing next week is doing a regular show. It may be a very special one that is yet to be seen.
Ooh.
But if it is a very special one, it's going to be a very long show.
Start the speculation threads, boys.
So we're gonna leave it at that. Next week will be the last regular show for a while. Because after that, what's going to happen is we're going to go into our end of season finale. You know, basically next week's going to be our season finale. And we're going to be off for a couple weeks. I'm going to play a couple repeat shows from the archive, deep in the archive. Hopefully they go better than they did last year. I misencoded them last year. They were too quiet. So we'll fix that, and we'll be playing those shows.
Murphy was quiet?
No, it wasn't. This is actually pre-Murphy.
Oh, this is pre-Murphy.
Yep.
This is when Flying J was part of our team. And then after that, we're going to have a best-of show that's going to be compiled by Murphy.
Yep.
Hopefully it hones a little more true than the video that was supposed to be compiled by Murphy and the audio clip that was supposed to be compiled by Murphy.
I have some audio
here's
clips
the thing.
Already.
I have high hopes, Chris. I really do. I mean, let's break it down. I get told something. I want to see it. I want to believe
look,
it.
Look, you and I discussed this already. I have some audio clips
good.
Prepared.
Everybody, this is a fucking gay show.
And I do have another audio clip. I do have the... it was because I knew exactly where it was and how to find it.
Okay.
It's the me going off on
MySpace.
On Chief's MySpace page.
So, you know, that's all good. So what we're going to do is have a best of the past year of Spankwagon. So you can tune in and you know, listen. Oh, God, here we go with that. You can tune in and listen and enjoy the past, what's been going on in the past year as according to us. And then after that, we are going to relaunch the show for the next season.
Ooh, relaunch.
Which well, you know, because it is almost a month off, which will be the second year here in the LV Rock Studios.
Yep.
Going on the second anniversary of here in LV Rocks. And leading up to the sixth anniversary of Spankwagon actually being on air. So,
when do we start getting paychecks for this shit? That's what I'm
That's what I, you know what, it's been 6 years and I have yet to see a dime come into my pocket. I've seen several of them go out of my pocket. But I have yet to see a dime come into my pocket. And when that happens, you'll be the first to know because I'll be happy. Figuring a way to make money doing internet radio, something I do as more of a passion or a love, as opposed to a job. I still don't look at this as a job. This is still not even a hobby. This is a thing I am very passionate about. Until I can figure out how to make money on passion without prostituting, well, I don't. I get a penny! Look at this! I get a penny! I am only 9 cents away from my financial goal. 9 cents away from that financial goal. That makes me happy. So let me cover it again. Spankwagon.net, the official site of Tumix, a Spick, a farm boy.
And a Negro.
And a brother. We gotta figure that in. We gotta get that extra bottle in there.
Censorship, fellas. I am not a Negro. I am an African American. Okay, hey, even though I've never been to Africa.
Thank you. First off, have you ever been to Africa? Hey, where's your dad from?
Louisiana.
Okay.
There's something else you could say about decaf.
What's that?
Bob had bitch tits.
Oh, that ain't nice. All right, so what do we have? You had some videos.
I got some
you
videos.
Had some sound clips and some audio bites and things you wanted to share with us. So why don't we go ahead? We'll hand it off to you, Mayor Murphy.
Okay, well, let's see here. First off, some really interesting information came out a little while ago. So here, I'll just let it play. On July 16th, 2005, Dateline ran a story about the now infamous Muppet sex scandal. Well, here are the actual voicemails, unedited. Well, mostly unedited. So this is the voicemail of Miss Piggy.
You have reached the voicemail of Miss Piggy. Please leave moi a message after the beep. You are so hot, and I want to eat you. I want you to suck my again and f*** you. And I want my girlfriend to eat you. You're f***ing hot. You are so f***ing hot. I want to meet you. I bet your f***ing smells like ham. I want to eat your f***ing like a ham sandwich. Please leave me a voicemail. Do it. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Just please leave me a voicemail.
Wait. There's another call.
Oh, my God.
Elmo's voicemail. Leave one.
Hi, ho, Elmo. So, listen, I heard that voicemail you left for Miss Piggy, and I just want to let you know, you little f***. If I ever see you around her, or if you ever leave her a voicemail again, I will have Oscar the Grouch break both of your f***ing kneecaps, and then I'll get Bert Murray to rip you jail style up and down Sesame Street. Don't f*** with me, man. You don't want to f*** with me. Anyway, see you at work tomorrow. Bye!
Yeah. So that came
nice.
Out. Kind
nice.
Of scary.
You know, and the funny thing is hearing Elmo go, I bet you taste like ham.
Oh, yeah.
I want to eat you like a fucking ham sandwich. I'm like, that ain't right.
So, okay, here's another one. This has got to be the dumbest individual on the planet.
I thought Vert talked to that. Okay.
You are first contestant so far this season from Oregon. It's nice to have you.
Whose line is it? Or not. What is this?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
You and your wife took a year off.
So we're doing the standard introduction here. I know the quality sucks.
She came up with the idea that we should both quit our jobs. We were both attorneys. And that's what we did. We quit our jobs and we traveled. We had some money that we saved and we just threw it all and went around the world.
Oh, you know, so many people probably envy that because that takes a lot of guts.
For a person like me who's a type A personality,
Yeah.
It really
scares. Nerd!
You did it, you're happy and probably.
He's got a giant mouth, too.
Completely.
Look at that thing.
I look like Robert Kennedy. Yeah.
Because the $1 million could certainly come in handy.
That's the hope.
You know the rules, you know the lifelines, you ready to play?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's play.
So, okay, we got this guy, millionaire.
For $100, Paul.
$100.
Which of these phrases is a common way of saying, I can't take it anymore?
Pause it.
That's the last stick.
Okay, so the question was,
which of these phrases is a common way of saying, I can't take it anymore? Let me see if I can back it up just a little bit so we can get to the, okay, here we go.
Paul, which of these phrases is a common way of saying, I can't take it anymore? That's the last stick. That's the last leap. That's the last straw. I'm moving to Canada.
Okay, so the options are?
There is, that's the last stick, that's the last leaf, that's the last straw, and I'm moving to Canada.
Okay, so these are the options. Players at home and studio, I think we know which one it is.
A, that's the last stick, final answer.
What? Wait. Back that shit up. What did he say?
Let me, oh, Jesus, hang on.
Click?
I clicked the wrong thing.
Oh, my God.
Did you now?
Well, YouTube does not like to be backed up.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, here we go.
That's the last straw. I'm moving to Canada.
A, that's the last stick. Final answer.
Okay, he just said A. That's the last stick. And he just said final answer.
Yep.
He is overconfident.
And you can hear that. Listen to the audience.
Audience went, ugh.
Yeah, listen to that.
I mean, that's, oh. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
That's the last. Oh, Paul.
Total prize money, nothing.
He
you
couldn't even win a
fucking loser.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Now I got to play something for him because he's just a. Oh god. Where's it at? Where's it at? Where's it at?
Oh, you can't even.
Yeah, you're just a big old monkey there, aren't you? You big fucking retard.
And that's funny.
Yeah.
God damn it, man. I swear, you guys rip on me 13 or 14 more times, I'm out of here.
That guy is the biggest fucking douchebag ever.
Wow. That's the last stick. I've had it! That's the last stick!
That's the last leaf I'm moving to Canada.
How you just give away pussy like that for those
30
weeks?
That's the cellophane that broke that camel's back.
Dude, oh yeah, that's...
His wife is probably like, we're getting a divorce, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. And what, you know, when you're in there and you're in a game show and you're so damn confident, I can do this.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about, you douche.
You know how to handle that situation. Just shit in your pants and dive in and swim.
Oh, all
that's
right.
That's pretty much it.
You know what? We were talking about censorship earlier in the show, and I have something that's related. Oh, by the way, Vert says he should never have to look for a sound clip. I don't understand that, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to play Is This Book Banned? Nice, simple. Can you get, you got any good music for this? Is This Book Banned? Because I really don't want to play just the bed music. Here's how we're going to play. Anybody in the chat room, Vert, or anybody wants to call us in, of course, you guys in the studio audience here, I'm going to give you a book, and you have to tell me if it's banned or not, and if it is banned, maybe make a good guess as to why. So some of these are really good. So I've got several. Give me a letter of the alphabet to start me off. So go ahead.
H.
Letter H. So we're going to pick letter H, and I'm going to pick a book in the letter H. The letter H. Is This Book Banned? Hamlet by William Shakespeare.
No.
You say no, Murphy. You say
no.
Yes.
Yes. The correct answer? Yes!
Oh, geez.
It has been banned in Ethiopia
where's
since.
We're talking worldwide? Okay, where's the book? Where's the board? I want to keep record of this. Get the write on boards. I want to keep track of this. All right, hang on here.
And if anybody in the green room, King Hesh or Queen Hesh, you guys want to come in? And play. We'd love to have you play. So, oh, Queen. Oh, hey, wait. You're in the studio.
Let's see him, girl.
You got the porn star hair going, like the 80s porn star
punk
hair.
Rock princess. That's nice.
Nice!
Oh, that's a titty, isn't it?
All right.
All right. So the Negro gets a point.
All right. And we have in studio here Queen Hesh from the King Hesh Show. All right. Negro, honky. All right.
Yes.
Aww. All right.
Big bad Negro. For all you white women out there.
Yeah, you're an author. You're the only black man with a penis like a pinky finger, all right?
Hey.
And I had to
I write books!
I added another category.
Hooters. Okay, so we got Negro, Honky, and Hooters all playing.
I could have put Snatch.
Hooters goes much better, but she's got the porn star hairdo today.
Have
you noticed that? What? The whole feathered hair thing?
I know, don't you just want
you,
to have
you
that?
Host a hair metal show. This is so appropriate. All right, so...
Don't you just want to see that face glazed like a... Krispy Kreme donut.
Krispy Kreme.
But that's the problem. Where she would be standing, I couldn't see her face. I maybe see her forehead. And if she would be sitting in front of me, there's also the chance all I'd see is the back of her head.
Oh, my.
Oh, she has a tattoo on her neck. I did not know that.
Is that new?
Is that new? Oh. All right, so here we go. Hope we'd be staring at her tattoo. Murphy, bring it back.
That's nice.
Bring
that's
it
nice
back.
Work.
All right, so here's how we go. Who got it right? You got it right? Okay. And, well, you didn't count because you weren't quite there. Okay, we'll give it to you. Did you give her a point?
Right. Give her half a point.
She's
rubbing
have...
the titties on me. Now she gets a full point.
What does she get if she takes off the shirt and does that?
I leave early.
What about me? Now I get an extra point?
Now you lose a point.
Okay. All right, so here's what we're going to do. All right, give me a letter of the alphabet, Queen Ash. Huh? S, okay, because I can't hear you all that well.
It's banned in Ethiopia, right, first.
Yeah. It's banned in Ethiopia.
And you know why?
Why?
Because they don't know what ham is.
Ah, Hamlet. You said the letter S, so we will go with the letter S. I will read a book title. You have to tell me if this book is banned. And the book is Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon.
I would say yes.
You're going to say yes, so Queen is going to say yes.
No.
Decaf is going to say no. Murphy?
I'm going to say no.
And so the gentlemen here say no. The woman is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. It is banned. Let me tell you why. Challenged but retained in Columbus, Ohio schools in 1993. The complaint believed that the book contains language degrading to blacks and is sexually explicit. Removed from required reading list and library shelves in the St. Mary County, Maryland schools in 98 by the school superintendent over the objections of his faculty.
Is this entire list books that are banned? I mean, we're going to...
Well, we'll continue and we'll find out.
Oh, crazy.
All right, let's go ahead. You got that round again. Too bad we weren't playing strip... Anyhow.
No, because I'd be naked at this point.
Good point. let's go for a letter. You know, let's give you a little cut. Let's give you a little break. Murphy, give me a letter of the alphabet.
Q.
Fuck, there is no Q. In this one. I was like, oh, a Q R. Oh, there is no Q.
All right, we'll go with L.
The letter L. Fuck, have you ever read a book? The only idiot in this town I think would think of a letter, to put the letter Q in a book would be like Sob Lofton.
Let me see.
Don't know, I'm sorry.
Anyway, Q. All right.
Well, Don Quixote, but.
No, that's D. All right, let's go with...
The first one I bought was just called Quixote.
All right, let's go with this. Little House on the Prairie. Banned or not?
No.
No.
And you're all wrong!
I told you, the whole goddamn list is nothing but banned books.
Little House on the Prairie. Are you ready for this challenge in the Lovehorse Parish Elementary School in Louisiana, 93? Because the book is offensive to Indians. Banned in all places of Sturgis, South Dakota. Banned in Sturgis.
The whole U.S. history book is offensive to Indians.
American elementary school classrooms in 93 due to statements concerning derogatory comments towards Native Americans. So, yes, Little House on the Prairie, a banned book. Go ahead. We'll go back to you. Give me a letter, A through Z. No Qs. Don't be a shit.
A.
Let's start at the beginning of the alphabet. Letter A. No, that one's too easy. Tom Sawyer. Yeah, that's too easy. Here we go. Here we go. You're going to love this one. Anne Frank, The Diary of a Young Girl, written by Anne Frank.
You mean the ones that the guys in Germany were burning in piles today? I'm going to say no, is not banned.
Not banned?
Banned.
Banned?
Banned.
You two are absolutely correct. That book is banned. And yes, Murphy, your suspicions are very accurate. Let me tell you why the book is banned. What, you thought I was going to play a real game? Come on.
Oh, fuck me. Jesus.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why this book is banned. Challenged in the Wise County, Virginia School District due to sexually offensive passages, four members of the Alabama State Textbook Committee in 83 also called for the rejection of the book because... Hold your breath on this one, kids.
Shows Germans in a bad light.
It's a real downer. Diary of Anne Frank was banned in Alabama because it was a real downer.
It's Alabama. They could have just banned it because it's got words in it.
It's got words.
Wow, that Holocaust was terrible. But
All right. We'll go with hey, run out there to King Hesh in the green room and ask a letter from him. What's that noise?
It's the song.
Okay, give me a letter, King.
B for bug,
R.
Man.
King Hesh goes for the letter R for the green room.
R.
That opens up today, didn't it? Does it open up today or next week?
Today.
Today? Okay, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Your wife already said you can't go and see it tomorrow.
I know. The letter R.
Ralph Macchio's.
Let's go with this one. The Rolling Stone Illustrated History of Rock and Roll.
Banned.
Banned?
Banned.
Banned. Group banned. Okay, you're learning this game. Absolutely correct. All of you get a point. Challenged in Jefferson, Kentucky because it will cause our children to become immoral and indecent.
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Well, and this is banned in 82.
The Hooters win that one with four.
Hooters. Ooh. Oh, no, we got one more round. One more round.
What? What?
I get a letter. That's damn right. It. And I'm going to go for the letter...
What? You by the letter?
The letter V. Here we go. The List of the Beautiful, Russian Fairy Tales. Russian Fairy Tales. Banned or not banned?
I would have to say banned.
Banned?
Banned.
Banned?
Banned.
Very good. You guys are all correct again.
Fucking retarded.
Challenge at the Mena, Arkansas schools in 1990 because the book contains violence, voodoo, and cannibalism.
That sounds like a good
What I've been reading, ladies and gentlemen, has been the Forbidden Larrabee banned and challenged books in association with Amazon.com, where you can purchase the books. Basically, you just have to go to title.forbiddenlibrary.com, and you'll get the list of all these books. Every book in here, A through Z, has been banned or challenged in school districts and by social groups and so on and so forth. Some of which, you know, like Diary of Anne Frank, banned not for a good reason, but because it was a downer.
It's a real downer.
It's a real downer, man. Those, you know, that whole Nazi thing.
The damn Holocaust, man, was just not cool.
I gotta say, that is probably the stupidest reason to ban a book, and they've succeeded.
So. I still like Murph's Sasser because it had words.
It's got words.
It's got words. And you know we don't really like all them words in our literature.
I don't have any banjo sound effects.
It's not ready in Crayola.
All right, so we're gonna get rid of this.
Okay,
turn that down. All right, so I'm looking at the clock.
Turn me back up.
No, I'm not.
Come on, turn me back up.
You gotta ask nicely,
please.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, don't turn off your music though.
Okay, it's off.
Thank you. All right, it's that time again. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spunkwagon Radio.
Spunkwagon.
I have been your host, Trencher.
I'm Murphy.
DK.
And we've been happy to be here for the last 2 hours giving you entertainment and enlightenment. I got a bunch of people we need to thank.
Me!
Shut up. Big thanks to LV Rocks and LVRocks.com for giving us the studio space and time to send our message out to the world.
What?
And some titties to look at.
Of course. Big thank you to all of our syndicates replaying our show for the masses to enjoy and listen to.
All six of you.
Flash FM, Fox FM, KC Host Radio Network, and Radio For Me.
For me.
Remember, if we're not live, we're in the archive, and you can check us out. Archive is at spankwagon.net, and also podcasts.lvrocks.com. Download the show, share it with your friends, and listen to it on your iPod.
Hey, speaking of podcasts, why don't we see if we can get all of our listeners to submit our link there to the old iTunes music store for podcasts?
Yeah, they won't take it when I try it.
Everybody out there, please start submitting our podcast to the iTunes music store.
It's the only one. I mean, everyone will take it too. Anyhow. We have big thank you to everyone in the studio. Big thank you to Queen and King Asher playing along with our game. Everybody listening at home, we appreciate your time. Again, I'm Trencher.
Murphy.
Decaf.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Later.
Come on.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.